to go back to the church meeting, when he confessed to an inappropriate behavior, he said it was one incident. He confessed to one incident.
We have been discussing the Trinity Baptist of Jacksonville, Florida, child abuse case in which the late pastor Bob Gray molested many children in the church over decades as he was pastor there, and then he was nearly found out and quickly shipped off to Germany in 1992. At this point in the discussion, the year is 1997, Pat and Dennis Cassell are staff members at the school. Their youngest daughter, Tricia, is a student in the high school, and Tricia came home in 1997 to announce that Bob Gray was going to be speaking at high school graduation. Since the meeting in 1992, in which Bob Gray had admitted to one indiscretion that was neither sexual nor immoral, rumors had been circulating around the church about three different people who were possible victims of Bob Gray.
God had put together several things in our lives. I remember thinking and saying to Denny, either if he's a child molester, what right does he have to come back and preach at high school graduation? If he's not a child molester, his name needs to be cleared, because through these years, there were older people in the church that could never understand why he couldn't preach. We came to the point where we said either his name needs to be cleared for everybody's sake, or we need to find out the truth. And at that point in time, through a series of happenings, God led us to one of the victims who I met with and talked with, and she told us the details. The victim told me, it went on for several years, he would have her come into his back office. He had a chair that reclined. He would lay her front to front on him. He would recline. He would put his hands on her body, press her body into his, and he would be French kissing her. And then when it was over meaning he did have an erection, he would give her a quarter and she would go buy a Coke. And this went on for several years until she began to develop. And then he told her one day, complete and total rejection, after church one day, he didn't even let her come to him. He just told her, you're getting too big to come see preacher.
Now, there had been rumors up to this point, and Tom Messer himself had told Pat and Dennis that some parents had simply overreacted by too much concern over an innocent kiss on the cheek or pat on the hair from Bob Gray to a child. This detailed account from a victim was the first that Pat had heard of what Bob Gray had actually done.
I was absolutely horrified, because up to this point, we kept thinking maybe it was just an extra hug, or people had misinterpreted, or even a kiss on the cheek. And when I heard the details and knew that Tom Messer knew these details in the early 90s, it was not a misinterpretation. It was definite child molestation. And I was horrified to think that our church leadership and Tom Messer himself were willing to overlook this and cover it up. At this point, I understood what a huge lie had been told to the church in the church meeting. It was definitely more than one time. It had gone on with this victim for a period of several years. And we also knew there were three different victims. So when he said there was one incident, one victim, Bob Gray made that statement to the church. It was a complete and total lie. And at that point, we realized how betrayed we had been by everybody involved, the church leadership, Tom Messer, Bob Gray, everyone involved.
It went totally against what the school was trying to teach these children and students. You know, how did I feel when you try to teach morality and do the right thing, and that was not the main concern of the church? Who was the head of this school?
This victim was not aware that Bob Gray was scheduled to preach at high school graduation. She and her husband went to Tom. Bob Gray immediately flew back to Germany, which was his escape every time things got a little bit hot. There were at least three or four different rumors going around as to why he went back. Supposedly the truth was going to be told It was just simply ignored. It was never addressed in church. There was never any announcement made as to why he went back to Germany.
As Pat and Dennis learned more of this victim's story, they came to understand that over the years, this victim had attempted to keep Bob Gray out of the pulpit when he returned to Trinity Baptist Church.
The victim I had talked to had confronted him with her husband, and he had cried and carried on and confessed and said, "Please forgive me." But then he had ended the meeting with prayer, and then this was thrown up to her. And there were several times, I believe, that he was going to come back and speak, and they would go complain to Tom, and then they would not let him speak. And then it was thrown back up to her. "Well, you haven't forgiven him," because she would bring it up. It was a forgive and a forget type mentality. It was forgive and forget, forgive and forget. And one of the deacons said, "Forgiveness is fine, but you need to go back. What are we going to do about the lie told to the church in 91, 92? That needs to be made right."
And that, of course, was never done. To this day, that has never been done at Trinity Baptist. As I have seen in all of the church abuse cases that I have dealt with in Christian fundamentalism, the burden gets put on the victim. The victim's wrongs in supposedly not forgiving the child molester are made much, much more weighty than the actual sin and crime of the child molester, which is using church office to prey upon innocent children.
So we decided at that point in time that we had to have a private meeting with Tom Messer. Dennis had signed his contract in April to come back to teach for that school year. We met with Tom to ask him point blank some of what we had found out from the victim, what he knew, what he didn't know, the lie that was told to the church, this type of thing.
Well, we went into his office and met with him, and within 10, 15 minutes of the meeting, in questioning him, I knew that I had to leave.
There was no way we could stay at the church and continue to teach. You had to go to the church if you taught at the school, and there was no way we could attend church and have any integrity left in our lives.
And I could not go to a place or support a church that had this behind the scenes.
One of the last things we said was, "Tom, if anybody asks us why we leave, we're going to tell them the truth. We are leaving because the church handled this completely and totally wrong. You did not handle it biblically."
And he said, "Well, I would expect that out of you."
This meeting took place in July of 1997, and Pat and Dennis Cassell walked away from Trinity, no longer employed, with a child who was going to college.
I walked away from a job that I had been doing for 25 years at one place. I was 50 years old at the time. And starting over again was kind of different for me.
I just want to say that probably that was the most exciting and at the same time the most scary time of our lives as a couple. It was just both feelings, and until you've ever been through something like that, you can't understand how you can feel both feelings, but we did feel both feelings at the same time. And to at the end of that first year to have our bills completely paid and Trisha's college completely paid, I mean, it was just amazing.
At that point, neither one of us had a job when we left, and the Lord worked miracle after miracle.
Our house had been for sale for about a year because we knew Trisha was going to be graduating from high school. So we had sold our house in June.
She was going to Clearwater at the time, so we knew we were going to have a college bill to pay at that point.
In August, when we had walked off, we were living in a small two-bedroom apartment. We did have rent to pay. The Lord sent me to work temporary, and Dennis substituted in public school. And every time there was a school bill due, we had the money. God just worked miracles. It was an exciting time.
He just met need after need after need. Just like Pat said, that our bills were paid. And at the end of the year, the first year, all of our daughter's tuition had been paid to the penny. I'd also like to say, too, that our children saw us actually doing what the Bible said to do. And they saw the results of how the Lord can take care of you in situations like this. So I thought in my mind that it spoke volumes to our children. They actually saw the Lord working now, today, and not back in biblical times.
I have seen the tremendous respect for God and for their parents that the Cassell children have. As people who came out of Trinity Baptist Church, it's a wonderful thing to see in them. And not only in them, but there are other former students from Trinity whose lives have been profoundly influenced by the simple choice to do the right thing by Pat and Dennis Cassell in a horrible, wicked, apostate church that sacrificed its young people to the vanity of its leadership.